Well, welcome back to Coast and Open Lines. Most time zones, we're now into August. Whoa. I kind of want this year to go by quickly, don't you? I bet it's one of those years we just want to tuck it away and say, it's over, thank God, and let's move on with other things. My gosh. Anyways, we've got open lines for you. At the end of the program, we're going to talk about Angels a little bit, but during open lines, normally we'll have a topic for you to chat with about something specific. Anything goes with open lines here. Anything goes. And, you know, whatever's been going on in your life with COVID-19 and how you've coped, or funny things that are happening, ghostly things that are happening, and strange things that are happening, open lines are open for you. This is your show. So whatever goes, fire away. We'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Skype is open, by the way, at George97313 if you want to give that a try as well. And we will have open lines for you. And let's begin. Let's go to Christopher in Iowa, east of the Rockies, to get us started. Hey, Christopher, good morning.
Hey, George. It's been a while since we spoke. I believe it was in November when I told you about, I was supposed to tell you about a story that, you know, my succubus chrysalis and I wanted to talk about.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And has it been that long already?
Yeah, last time I say anything about her was, I think, during the Halloween episode of or Ghost to Ghost, when I told the story how we met.
Okay.
So, I think it was like around 4 years ago when I was with my last steady girlfriend. She knew about Chrysalis, and most of my friends did around the time, and one day when I went over to her house, you know, just to hang out and watch a movie, I kind of got a very unusual feeling, like there was someone there, but like
it's kind of hard to say because like watching you
with us in a way. Yes,
you could feel that,
like watching us.
Yeah,
and Chrysalis also had that feeling, and it was a small moment where I blacked out, where apparently, I guess Chrysalis took over, and she went downstairs where my girlfriend's brother was, you know, playing games, I guess, at the time,
uh-huh.
She was telling me, and Chrysalis started, walking to one of the corners of the room, and was talking to someone, and she was like talking to someone and saying, you know, how much they were, someone was in pain, and how much someone was sorry for leaving. And she told me that she could see someone in a military uniform.
Huh.
And it turns out that my girlfriend, her father, was in the military, and several years after he was let go from the military, he had committed suicide.
Oh, jeez.
And so most likely that was the spirit that Chrysalis was talking to that day.
Probably. Now, did that spirit pass on any information to you folks or anything like that?
She wanted me to tell my girlfriend's mom how sorry she was for not meeting their newborn son at the time. Because at the time, apparently, my girlfriend's mom was pregnant with a boy. And he was sorry for leaving her and not being able to meet him.
Wow.
And how he was sorry to...
Did you tell her that?
No, I didn't.
It's kind of tough to say something like that, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we split up about 2 years ago, and then she moved, so it's very difficult to get in touch with her nowadays.
Exactly. Let it move on. But that's something. And you're still in contact with this other spirit, which is an amazing story all by itself. Christopher, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it. Open lines here on Coast to Coast. Next up, Joe in Monterey, California. Hey, Joseph, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, Joe. How about you?
Okay. So I live in a house that I've had several experiences. And so the very last one was, late at night, do my routine, do a little bedtime tea before I go to bed. And I would hear, little activity in the other room. So one night I decide to take my little, voice memo app on my phone, take a little recording. And so I catch a voice. So the voice is, it says, Aruspigadi. Now, I'm Sicilian, so Aruspigadi means, like, wake up.
Huh.
So I thought it was interesting. So I listened to it again the next day, and it was clearly a male voice. Not very distant, but not really close. And so I listened to it the next day, and it's a female voice saying the same thing.
Did it change on you?
It still said Aruspigadi, but it was a female.
Okay. But it was a male the night before.
Yes.
Huh.
And then I don't think anything about it. And then a few days later, listen to it again. And it's still a female voice, but it's like a whisper. And so I'm kind of wondering if this something that's happens a lot with.
Well, did you feel at ease at any point?
Completely at ease, because I've caught a couple of voices before, so it was no big deal to me. And this the property that we live on, ever since I was a kid, there's been multiple instances of activity. So it's no big deal to me. I'm not nothing I'm afraid of or anything.
Was that location specific to these apparitions? I mean, do you think they could have died there or anything like that?
Possibly, but I don't know. It wasn't any voices that I recognized.
That's interesting. They could be just following you. That's a very possibility, too. But you distinctly know they were speaking in Italian, which is unusual, but that's interesting. Tom, text and tweets, what do you have for us?
I like this question. Patrick in Maine, what's the weirdest and or coolest thing you have done to pass time during the shut-in?
I continue to work. That's not the weirdest, but it keeps me occupied and busy. Things change for me, Tom. When I'm in California, it's a different lifestyle than St. Louis. Of course, as you know, things are shut down even more in California.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of the weird stuff, open lines on a Friday night.
But you must have been sitting around like one day and just did something that you wouldn't normally do.
No. I just do my stuff, just watch a little television, do my things, pay my bills, and just keep going.
I guess that's what we all do.
How about you?
I would have to say, and you know this because I told you, that one day when I was little, I collected baseball cards, but not because I wanted the cards, because I wanted the bubble gum. And I just threw the cards in a drawer, and somehow during the years, they kept in that drawer through my moves. So I actually broke them out a couple weeks ago and started looking at them and seeing what I had.
You've got some good cards, I bet.
I have some pretty cool cards, yeah. I found a really pristine Hank Aaron card. That's probably the best card I have.
Honus Wagner?
No.
That would be something. Hey, so I got an email from somebody about you, and they said, I got to tell you and compliment you. I call a lot of talk shows all over the country, and your call screener, Tom, Dan Heiser. A lot of people think you've got three names, by the way.
I know.
Tom,
I know.
Dan Heiser.
I know.
And he said he's respectful, and he gets it. So I had an idea that, a couple times a year for, a segment during an open line show, to have a segment called Talk to Tommy,
sure.
where our listeners call in. You put them on hold. You do all that. I'll do the technical stuff to get them on with you. But you literally do a segment. It's a 15, 20-minute segment called, Talk to Tommy. And you just handle calls and do your thing. for people who really appreciate what you do. You want to do that?
Fire away. I'm all into it.
We'll do it,
yeah.
A couple times a year. It's not going to be a weekly thing, Tom. Don't worry.
No. I know who the king of open lines is. Don't worry.
All right, go for it. And we'll take texts and tweets for the rest of the night with Tom Danheiser. Let's go back to the calls. Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And I have a question for you, old buddy, old pal, before you get started, all right?
You owe me $200 more.
All right, take bill me for it. Have you heard from Cornelius? Because I have been told he's been very sick.
Listen to me, George. I just talked to Tommy about 30 minutes ago. He finally heard from Cornelius, and he's probably on hold right now.
No, he's not. He's not.
Anyway, he's supposed to call later tonight, and he's doing better, feeling better, and I'm so glad you asked me, because that was the first thing I was going to say to you. And Mike from Millennium, of course, our buddy in Denver, I talked to him about an hour and a half ago, and he hadn't heard anything. And at that time, I hadn't heard anything either. But it sounds like Cornelius is doing better.
Did he have COVID-19 or not?
No, according to Tommy, and I'm waiting for Cornelius to call me because I've got calls on his voicemails telling him to call me. And but listen, I just want to tell you, buddy, Elizabeth, I think it was Monday or Tuesday night, the biologist.
Yes, she was good.
Oh, man, I love talking to her, and I could talk to her for an hour and a half because...
Well, that's your background, too, you know? You know that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. As we like to say, a biochemist without a PhD.
That's right. you know your stuff.
I know it.
Old buddy, listen, old pal.
Old buddy, old pal, old friend of mine.
See, I didn't say that, so I still don't owe you the $200.
Yep, as long as you leave the last four words off, you won't have to pay me the $200.
That's right. People are wondering what the heck you're talking about. Quickly tell them. You have copyrighted this thing, right?
Yes, yeah. You can't patent it. You can't trademark. You can't trademark it, but you can copyright it.
I understand. I understand Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top has been asking about you.
Well, as a matter of fact, he called me the other day. He must have gotten my phone number from Tommy, and we talked for about 30 minutes.
Isn't that cool? He's a great guy.
Oh, listen, he is so down to earth. And I don't know if you watch the Access Channel. Tommy said he did. And Dan Rather interviews a lot of people. And when he has Billy Gibbons on there, was that a strawberry blonde? he's got to dye that a beard of his. It can't be natural.
I think that's his natural color. I do.
I'll be darned.
It's about 2 feet long or something like that.
Yeah. It comes down to the upper part of his chest.
Well, let's hope that Cornelius checks in. I haven't heard from Tom in La Jolla for a while, so I hope he's okay.
Okay, yes. And listen, George, I got to say hello to all my friends out there in Coast to Coast land. You've just got the most super group of guests and callers in, including me.
Well, and how are you and the wife weathering this COVID situation?
Well, you know what, George? Here in South Carolina, going back up, sadly.
Yeah.
But Martha and I, we love being alone. We don't leave home but every 10 days.
Anyways, right?
Yeah.
So you can survive that. Okay, Bear, thanks. We're going to move on. But it's a tense situation. And, I have talked about it. We were one of the first to break the stories. This was back in December when I saw this silly little story that somebody had gotten the flu-type symptoms from eating a tainted bat in Wuhan, China. I saw that story and went, gosh, this is a coast-to-coast story. Eating a bat, and you come down with some kind of influenza-type illness. That was just it. It was just that little story. And then the next day, there was word about a viral lab in Wuhan that we had financed it. And then I'm saying, oh, no, this is weird. This is a little too weird. I don't believe in coincidences. These things are strange. So I started putting two and two together. And then all of a sudden, this thing ran rampant throughout China, through Wuhan, and then it spread all over the country. I've told epidemiologists that it's airborne. Originally, they said no. Now they're all agreeing that it is because it just traveled way too fast. Now, in terms of it coming back again, there people are having heart issues. They're talking about losing hearing on some cases, losing permanent smell. This is a weird illness, folks. And I don't think nature creates these things. This was made in a laboratory, got out, I believe, accidentally, but who knows? And it's a mess. The other question is, of course, is do we shut down continually or just open up and let herd immunity take over? And I've had mixed calls and emails on this. Every time, you know, my thoughts have been maybe we should just open up and see what happens. What I really think we should do is experiment with one city. Get all the data we can right now on one city, whether it's Topeka or Wichita or St. Louis, and open it up 100% and see what happens and see if this thing continues to run rampant or it starts to diminish on its own, rather than test the entire country. But we have to do something and do something pretty darn fast, because people are at a point now where they can't take it anymore. I don't know about you, but wherever I go, people are so uptight about this situation. It's unbelievable to wear a mask, to not wear a mask. And if you're not wearing a mask, people get uptight. They fight. They scream. It's a tense situation. We got to get it back to a situation where people are calm over this thing, and that this disease goes away. And if it never goes away, are we going to live this way forever? Do you want to do that? So there's a lot of things we have to anticipate. Some of them may not be very popular, but we got to make some decisions. So far, governmental leaders have just merely shut down or have gone backwards after opening up a little bit, but nothing stopped it. Nothing has slowed it down. The death rate is still high. The infection rate is still high, and it is an absolute mess. So we got to come up with a plan, and a darn good plan. We're going to come back with more open lines, more text and tweets in a moment for the rest of the night. So get ready to make more calls. That if you have something a little lighter you want to talk about, I'm all for that. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to our free YouTube channel by going to Coast to Coast AM Official in the YouTube search bar. And that pops up. You just click subscribe. And welcome back to Coast, back with Open Lines, west of the Rockies, Stephen in Montana. Stephen, welcome.
We stock our pond, and then you get hard freezes, and, oh, hello.
Hi there. Sorry. You got two conversations going on.
That's right. I was just wanted to ask you about vampires.
Okay.
So, Keith Richards, the lead guitarist for the Rolling Stones.
Yes, sir.
Is kept alive by full blood transfusions. Is he a vampire?
That's a good question. Is he a vampire with blood transfusions? No, I don't think he is. That's a medical situation. Vampires, of course, don't give blood. They take it. And they bite. And they do all kinds of things like that. So Keith Richards is not a vampire, in my opinion. But the next time I get a ghost expert on, let's ask them and find out. But I would say no, absolutely not. He is not. Freddie's in Central Illinois. Welcome to the show. Hi, Freddie.
Hey, Mike. Or hey, George. How's it going?
Okay. Hope you're okay.
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I want to ask you about QAnon. There, are you familiar with it?
Yes, I sure am.
So, do you think that how much of it do you think is real?
That is a $64,000 question, because the big question is, who or what is QAnon? Is it made up? Being blocked now on several social sites, as you know. I would say it's probably not real in terms of who it is. We don't know who it is, but I don't think it's a prominent person or anything like that. I think it may be someone who's savvy with computers and formed this name and is just putting out information. That's my guess.
Well, I'd agree with you there, but the scary thing is, you know, Mike the Millennial and I know each other, and we were talking about this, and the scary thing is that some of those things just happen to be true, though.
Like, yes.
Jeffrey Epstein and...
Oh, no question about it. No question about it.
And it's scary how a Q, or whatever you want to call this person or social media account, group of people, has gotten some of this stuff right. And it's just scary to think that that might be possible.
I think what Q does is he gets information like Alex Jones does, and he runs with it, and then he's got probably pretty good instincts, and his gut tells him yes, because, you know, before Epstein got convicted of his pedophilia, a lot of people would say, come on, it's preposterous. This guy's got more money than he needs. He owns islands. He's not into that. But then, you know, when you begin to hear some of these other stories, you realize this guy's guilty of sin. And so, you know, but how does QAnon get those stories? I think they find them like we did on the coronavirus. You know, we were right about that. And it was a small little story. So maybe QAnon does a lot of internet searches and things like that, picks them up, and then runs with it, and has pretty good instincts and is right a lot of times. I think that's possible. Tom, you got a tweet for us? What do you got back there?
This one from Sherry in Florida. Can you please talk a little bit about classic UFO cases and the possibility of disclosure anytime soon?
Well, if you listen to our program on a regular basis, you know that we're slowly getting closer and closer to disclosure. It's not going to be a full-fledged government announcement, but we're going to find out from good investigators and people on the inside who decide to go public. And in terms of the classic cases, of course, there's Roswell, Rendlesham in the United Kingdom. There's Socorro, New Mexico, that changed the late Mr. Hynek's views on UFOs. And, you know, his son Paul told us when we were with him on one of our shows that episode alone changed his father.
And I just have to say real quick, I miss Stanton Friedman so much.
Oh, tell me about it.
I'd have these conversations with him, I don't know, once, twice a month, and just such a great guy and such a great researcher.
Remember how he used to have a case and go, I'm throwing that in my gray basket.
Yeah. You know? I think I was one of the last people to talk to him before he passed away, is what I think.
What a sad story. And, of course, you know the relationship we had with him. And he being my first radio interview when I was 21 years old. And then I was the last interviewer to interview him.
So ironic.
Before he passed on. And when we were together with him, he looked fine. It was in Columbus, Ohio.
I was just going to say, you would never know from the performance on stage, from just walking around the hotel, you would never know.
That's what's scary about heart attacks. You know, when they happen like that,
yeah,
bang, they're done. I'm going to say this because I want every listener to be alive and listen to this program. Some good hospitals have now come up with what they call digital angiograms. You know, in currently what they do, Tom, if they need to check your arteries, they will go up through your artery in your leg and start searching around with a camera and trying to poke their way through your arteries.
But don't you have to do a treadmill first, though, or something?
No, you don't have to do that. But now they have a brand new digital scope system where they inject you with a little dye, and then they lighten up your arteries, and this digital machine that they put you through reads it. And they will be able to tell you through your cardiologist Your arteries are blocked. You've got seven major arteries going to the heart.
So it sees like the cholesterol and all this stuff.
Sees all that stuff, inflammation, clogged arteries.
Wow.
And then they can decide how they're going to attack it. Are they going to put a stent in? Are they going to try to do bypass surgery? Are they going to try to unclog it by, you know, an angioplasty? But, I mean, I think everybody needs to do that when you get up in age.
Preventative is just everything.
Because, you know, had Stanton Friedman been able to do that, they would have said, oh, my God, you got three blocked arteries, Stan. How could you be walking? And take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. But long live Stanton.
I love the guy. Love the guy. Michael in Kansas, welcome to the show. Hi, Michael.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. How are things in Kansas?
Oh, pretty peaceful. I'm out on the river right now fishing, looking at the sky. And it's peaceful out here, a nice night.
August 1st, here we go.
I just have two things I want to say.
Okay.
First of all, my grandma died here this week. And
sorry to hear that.
I would just like to give a shout out to her wherever she is. I feel like she's up there, you know, traveling through whatever it is.
What was her name, Mike?
Gloria.
Gloria. That's a great name.
And also, I just want to speak a little bit about, I feel right now there's a lot of dark, I don't know specifically what it is, you know, in the world, and a dark force of some kind that's using, you know, all this stuff like COVID and the race stuff that's going on, the chaos, and it's you know, kind of putting people against, dividing people, you know, putting us against each other. And I just would urge people to be good to one another, look out for one another, and try to maybe turn your TVs off, go outside, and pray about it a little bit. And that's all I got to say.
Well, Michael, I got to tell you, you are so adept at this and so spot on. There are dark forces that are out there that want to topple our country and topple world governments, and they're using these unfortunate situations, all of them, to try to magnify that, and they're out of control. I think some of it is being funded by these names that you hear all the time, and these people are just out to get all of us and topple governments. And I think you're very perceptive picking that up. How did you get to this point?
Well, listening to Coast to Coast, actually. Yeah, I stopped watching TV.
All right. Good for you. Well, you're spot on. And let's go next to Cleopatra in Louisville, Kentucky. That's a good way to introduce you, isn't it, Louise?
Yes, it is, George. Thank you so much. George, I'm a Rosicrucian and been one for many years. Virginia of Long Beach and I would go to all of the meetings, we would go to the initiations together. After 40 or 50 years, you start over again with lesson number one. I told the guys, I said, I need more. What do I do now? Because you only study one lesson a week. That's when Virginia told me, she said, you have to listen to George on Coast to Coast. And that's when I got my lessons, 365-7. And that is what has elevated me to the higher Cleopatra level. So I wanted to thank you and thank Coast to Coast, because every night we have a master teaching us. And I want you to know how much I appreciate.
Well, thank you, Louise. I got to ask you this, because you are a brilliant person. You think things out. Were you good in school? Did you get all A's when you were a kid?
I was the honor society student.
I knew it. I knew it.
Yes. And then, too, as Cleopatra, you know, the Library of Alexander, we had the top teachers, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle. We had the best teachers in the world in Alexander. So I was around them from a young age, and it has carried over to today.
Now, to people who are brand new to the show, and they're listening to you, and they're going, what the heck is she talking about, Cleopatra? Go ahead and tell them who you are.
Yes, Cleopatra, 2000. Oh, okay. I have to say this. Today is August the 1st. This is the day that Octavia came into Alexander, took over our city, and this is the day Mark Antony committed suicide August the 1st. And we know exactly because Octavian started the calendar on that day.
Were you really in love with Mark Anthony?
I still love Mark Anthony. And that's why 10 days later on the 10th is when Cleopatra died. But I don't remember what happened. I think I was so traumatized. I can't remember. I do everything I can.
You don't remember how you died?
No, I don't remember. And that bothers me. I went over my lesson tonight, Heal Your Past Life Fears, because I think I was murdered.
Oh, really?
I think Octavian had me killed because, you know, I have a strong temper.
Well, you were ruling Egypt, weren't you?
Yeah, we were in Alexander.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, right outside of.
But, I mean, did you rule Egypt or the pharaohs rule? Who did that?
Cleopatra was the queen for 22 years. She was the richest person in the world. Octavian wanted her money, her wealth, her fame, her fortune. That's why he was determined to go into Alexandria and take over the city and take her wealth.
How did you become the queen?
Ptolemy the 15th, I mean the 13th.
Was he your father?
Yeah, that's the father. He was my father in this lifetime. The 14th and 15th were the brothers. The 13th and 14th were the brothers. The 15th was Caesarian. Yeah, he gave her a throne, but she had two older sisters. She had an older sister and a younger sister. They both were her enemies. They both wanted to take her throne away from her, even in this lifetime.
They were jealous. They were jealous of you, weren't they?
I have a problem with them. That's why I have to go through what I go through. But I know it all. I remember it all.
That's great stuff. Well, thanks, Louise. And you are the only Cleopatra reincarnation that I've ever interviewed before. Let's go to our first-time caller in Idaho. Geg's with us. Geg, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Yeah, hello?
Hi.
Hi. I am scared out of my mind. I have seen this, like, girl. She's, like, the same height as me. I don't know whether she's physical or not. I don't know what
Where are you seeing her? Whereabouts?
I've seen her, like, four times. The first time was in, like, I was shopping with my parents and stuff, and I look into a store, and like I see her. She's tall as me, white. She has brown hair. She has very pink cheeks.
Does she look human, Geg?
Yes, yes. Oh God.
So now, does she look scary looking or anything like that?
No, she looks normal. Except I just see that when I see her, I feel immense guilt, like I just killed an entire civilization.
What do you mean? Tell me more about that.
Like, I don't know.
You think you killed her in a past life?
No, that's not it. I went to a town and I just, it feels like I went to a town and I just killed everybody there. So
why would you even think that?
I don't know. It just gives me immense guilt like that. Oh, God. She has a green sweater with, like, a large beige stripe in the middle.
And you think she's coming back to haunt you?
I don't know. This hasn't happened in a month.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little advice, and that is, I'm not saying none of this is happening to you. I'm not saying that at all. But if you have this feeling that you've killed a whole community, and you have this feeling and that she's coming back to haunt you or to get you, I would seriously, you know, ask your parents to help find a doctor who practices in this, a medical doctor. We call them psychiatrists. Not saying you're nuts by any means, but why don't you take that route first and let this person have a chance to talk with you? I really think it would help you, Geg.